eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Normally, because I did say this on the show, this is normally the time where Izzo gets that whole January, February Izzo. When everybody starts to doubt him and everybody starts to say, well, Tom, maybe you're losing a step. I sat in that press conference. He looked like a different man. And I've been covering this team since Izzo got there in 95. And I don't think he's having fun. Izzo loves the game of basketball. Never denied that. I don't think he likes his team. And I don't think he's having fun because he keeps talking about the stuff he can't do. He can't say, I used to be able to do this, but now I got to coddle him. I can't. He's not himself. And I equated it to, you're in a long relationship or you're in a marriage. And then all of a sudden you and your wife used to hang out and you party and you went to concerts. And then one day everything changed because your wife says, I'm not going to drink anymore. Your wife comes in and says, you know what? I found the Lord and I'm not going to do that. You didn't. You still love her, but your life has now changed because you can't do the same things that you once did. And you're not enjoying yourself. You're not enjoying that relationship as much as you used to enjoy it. So one of you would have to change. And I think that Tom, being 69, is not really trying to adapt and change, but he can't really do the things that he wants to do. My thing is this, if I was Tom, I'm gonna go out being me. I'm gonna go out doing it my way. And if I get canceled, I get canceled, but at least I'll know I didn't compromise anything. I didn't compromise myself.
No, I agree with that. It kind of feels a little bit like the 2010, 2011 team that had a whole lot of expectations to start the year. Yeah. Had some, I mean, obviously this team didn't have off court issues like the 2011 team did with Corey Lucius and Chris Allen getting kicked off, but it just seemed like he hated his team. Yeah. And like they barely got in the tournament. I think they got a 10 seed, got knocked out. And then the following year, you know, things got back to the way that they were. And he got some more recruits in. That was Draymond's senior year, and they got a 1 seed. But there was a leader that he can lean on. He could be the coach on the court, and it kind of went back to the way that he wants to coach. And just with this group, it seems like they haven't really had a leader since Cassius and Tillman left. And so, you know, I think Tyson Walker's a great player, just don't think he's a leader. AJ, right, doesn't want to be the leader. Malik Hall, nice guy, starting to play a lot better. As Stephen Bardo would say, getting that senioritis, he realizes the end is close, so he's turned it up, but still not a leader. You know, the fact that you've got, you know, Davis Smith multiple times saying at home, didn't look like we were ready to play, didn't look like we were locked in, like having to deliver a fiery halftime speech against Michigan at home because you weren't playing well. It's like, it's Michigan. Is Izzo trying to go for 700? Like, why does David Smith need to fire you guys up against the rival team? You know, you're playing against Iowa at home. You're coming off this win streak. You got a chance to get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. And he's saying that I could tell in warmups we weren't locked in. And, you know, comments coming out after the game of, yeah, we just weren't locked in the way we needed to start the game. And it's just like, how many times does this have to happen with pretty much a full upperclassman team that's, right. you know, in terms of the regular players. Like, how many times does this have to happen? So I can see why Izzo doesn't, if it is true that he doesn't like his team, I can see why.
Well, here's the thing, though. You've now hit a new milestone, and it's sad because they keep hitting new bad milestones. But mm-hmm. this is going to be the first time that in a four-year stretch, Izzo had a team lose double-digit games. Lost 13, I think you lost 13 for the last 3 years. You're already at 11. So let's just say you lose to Purdue, that's 12. You're going to lose probably in the tournament and in the Big Ten tournament.
Yep, that's
you're going to have more losses. The last time he had this was right after the three Final Fours, but he was a younger guy. But it was the 2002, 2003, 2014. But then 2005, they go to the Final Four. They surprise everybody. I think that was the Allen Anderson-led team.
Yep.
All of a sudden, they went out and they beat Duke and they beat Kentucky in Austin, Texas, and they got that thing done. They're losing. Like, he's looking at this group, and for the last 4 years, he's just seen nothing but losses. Like, you're barely over 500 in the Big Ten over the last 4 years. You could see the frustration weighing on him, and I think he is befuddled and not knowing exactly what I can do to fix this. Now, I do think a lot of this bases off of the recruiting that he did from 2019 on, where he didn't go and get those the plan A guys. He got a lot of plan B guys. And I know nobody wants to be called a plan B guy, but let's just call it what it is. He didn't get the recruits that he wanted to bring in there. And now you're sitting here and, you know, you got some of the younger guys. And I do think that the leader, unfortunately, got shot. I think Jeremy Fears was all set to take this team over. I said by the time the Big Ten play rolled around, he was going to take AJ's spot.
Yep.
And he was going to be the starting point guard. He was going to be that leader. He was going to be that guy. He gets shot. He's not going to play. I'm assuming he's going to get redshirted, but let's face it, nobody who really uses a red shirt nowadays in basketball. If he's good, he's going to be gone in a couple of years. But that was going to be the guy. And you know, I look at the class coming in next year and they're good, but I don't see this prolific score that's going to really help get you to that next level. That, yeah, I mean, ever since I would say this is where I think Tom has to really go back to what he did to get this team above water. He had the portal and he went out there and he got Tyson Walker. He went out there and he got Joey Hauser. Those guys elevated him. He didn't want to do it this year. And I think if he does that again next year, that's going to be the detriment of him, because at this point, it's almost like you're fighting to win. And, you know, are you trying to win a title or are you trying to prove a point? That would be the question that I would ask him.
No, I think that's fair, especially when it comes to the recruiting. If you look at the 2018 to 22 classes, there's what, 16 high school players in there. So I'm not going to count Hauser. I'm not going to count Walker. But from that group of 16 players, I mean, how many would you say, you know what, they had a really good career here? Maybe Malik Hall, Aaron Henry, maybe Gabe Brown.
Right. I mean, they were good. They weren't
great.
They weren't memorable. They weren't like, oh, my God, you know, you're not going to have an argument of should you be hanging their, you know, their jersey. And, you know, I really miss them. It's like, yeah, you're
no first team, Big Ten guys.
Yeah, first round picks. No, just good guys. But yeah, now you got Malik Hall. You know, I guess you'll have AJ. But once again, it's like, okay, well, you know, Fears was already here. He was going to take over. You're hoping that it was going to be Xavier Booker, but he didn't play this year. So you don't know. Cohen Carr is great for dunks.
Right.
And the only thing I can hope for Cohen Carr is his career pattern is Jason Richardson. Jason Richardson, most people don't realize Richardson was on the 2000 National Championship team. He only played six, seven minutes a game. And he literally came in to dunk the ball. That was it. They ran the alley-oop play. He would dunk and people would lose their mind. But then the next year, he became, you know, he then averaged, I think, 21 points a game, became the leading scorer, became a lottery pick. If you're Cohen Carr, every time I see him walking in the basketball building, I was like, how come you're not out shooting 500 jumpers? Why aren't you out trying to get better? I don't know if they have that guy, I mean, you're bringing in, ironically enough, Richardson's kid is coming in next year. I don't know if they got that score coming in, that guy that's going to be that prolific guy that I do think that maybe Izzo needs to go after, get a nice little NIL package together and go after one of the top transfers to really jumpstart this team. Very similar to what you saw Tennessee do with Rick Barnes. And now, you know, they're one of the better teams because they went out and got a transfer. And you did that with Tyson. And you take away Tyson, this team's not the same.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's interesting is it doesn't have to be a transfer from a Power 5 program. Like, we've seen, you know, Dalton Kennett for Tennessee came from Northern Colorado. Like, Tyson Walker was Northeastern. Like, we're seeing all of these Big Ten players, you know, Marcus Domask was Southern Illinois. Like, Lance Jones was Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
You know, you got Ben Kricke from Iowa, who killed Michigan State last week. He was a Valpo guy. Like, there are guys that are at the mid-major level who can come up and help you. Like, it doesn't just have to be, oh, well, it's a disgruntled guy at
Right. You ain't got to get the 100 biggest in the world.
Right. Like, sure, if you had a guy like that that could help you, fine. It's an Alabama guy who, you know, feels like he should be playing more and he's not, and he helps you in your offense, fine. But there are a lot of players who can play all over the country, especially if you need them for just a year or two. You're already grown men. You're 21, 22 years old. You don't have to worry about the physicality aspect. And a lot of times they can step right in, and even if they're not leading your team in scoring, they're absolutely a rotation player that can help. And so it just feels like it shouldn't be this hard to find a guy that can help you fit when pretty much everybody in the Big Ten did this year.
Nah, you're right. Before we wrap up, can you help Doug McDaniel?